All right. And then for the word as well. Jesus, we lift you up. We thank you, Lord, for that day that you set us free. Lord, thank you for the inward freedom and life. But God, today we lift up, because your word says when we gather together, we're to pray together, and where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there, and whatever we agree upon is ours. So we take the authority we have this morning, and we lift up Dan and Jamie Herrera Butler. Lord, we lift them up before your throne. We thank you for Dan, God, a godly husband that stands in the gap for his wife and faithfully serves you. Lord, and you open the doors, and he feels like you've called him to be at this law school. Very liberal, but a conservative, godly voice on this campus. So we pray favor, and we pray blessings upon him. We ask that you comfort him, that you keep his mind sound, that when he takes his final exams, that everything he's been reading would come back to memory, and he would just breeze through it, Lord. We know that you can quicken our minds to remember things. So we're asking for your Holy Spirit to be upon him. Lord, we lift up Jamie and we lift up Jessica before your throne. Thank you, God, for where you've called them and positioned them for such a time as this. Lord, we stand in the gap. We take their arms in the Spirit this morning and we hold them up. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, we know it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord, that it's in you that we live and move and have our being. So Lord, energize them today. Open doors that no man can close. Thank you for the favor upon them. We ask for increased favor and a spirit of influence that would permeate their office and permeate them and wherever. Lord, I pray that this year you would strategically place Jamie in situations and give her supernatural wisdom. Quicken her heart with wisdom and discernment. When questions are asked, she'll leave going, where did that come from? But it's the Spirit of God working in her that would bring solutions to questions. Thank you, Lord. Bless them to keep up the fight. Lord, we lift up Lexi before your throne. We lift up Jim and Tammy. We pray courage and strength over Jim and Tammy and peace. Lord, we speak healing. Thank you that by your stripes we are healed. We claim that over Lexus in Jesus' name this morning. Lord, whatever's going on in her brain, if there's swelling or whatever it is, we ask that you dissolve what should not be there, and you bring into right order everything in her mind in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for your word, that your word change and transform us today. And we rejoice today as we're going to water baptize some 20-some people as they make a public declaration that you are Savior, you are King. And we want to put to death the old man, and we want to be resurrected in newness of life with you, Jesus. We give you all the honor and the praise in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, my message this morning, it's the last in our series, What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. I mean, what a title for a series. What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. But the message this morning is give to others. As we conclude all that we've learned about, it's so important that we come to this place where we learn to give back to others. That's what we do when all is said and done. What do? On the worst day of our life? God will bring us to the place where we can recover all and we can celebrate, but he does it so that we come to a place where we can give back to others. We're going to talk about that. Ziklag, I just want to recap for a few minutes. Ziklag is a place between your prophetic dreams and the reality or the fulfillment of that, your destiny, right? That's what we learned over the last 10 weeks. David was in Ziklag. Bethlehem was the beginning. He had a prophetic word. He was going to be king someday. He's sitting in Ziklag. All of a sudden, everything's gone. David could have at that time thrown his hands up in the air and said, I don't know what you're doing, God, but this is all a bunch of hogwash. and I'm out of here. And we would have never heard from him again. But Ziklag, between that place of beginning, that prophetic promise, and the reality of it, he goes through what we've called the worst day of his life. We learned from David how to walk out victory when we go through the worst day of our life. We begin with weeping. And Marcy shared a story, part of what had gone on in our life a year and a half ago. And it's okay to weep, but don't stay there. And the enemy may shoot arrows at you, but we put up the shield of faith. If you've got an arrow in you this morning that the enemy shot in you, put up the shield of faith. Tell one of us so we can pray for you and we can remove those arrows. Then you turn around, take that arrow, and you shoot it back into the heart of the enemy. Amen? Then we looked at, don't get bitter. Pastor Tom brought the word that the enemy, Jesus is the rock of offense, but the enemy and the Lord will allow circumstances in our life where there's a trap, but don't step into the trap. Don't become bitter. Learn to just step right over. Offenses will come, but do something with it. Give it back to God. Don't become bitter. All right? Then we looked at encouraging ourselves in the Lord. And David's MO, his mode of operation for his life, was always to go back to praise where his perspective was changed. He wasn't looking from the pit up saying there's no hope. As he began to encourage himself in the Lord, God gave him a new perspective, and he was looking from God's perspective. God's going to deliver these people and what I've lost into my hands. Amen? And then Pastor Brian brought a word on getting a word from God. It's important that we get a word from God, that we hear from God. If it's a verse, if it's one word, whatever it is. Last year, if you remember, at the beginning of the year, I'm going to do it again this year. I said, ask the Holy Spirit for one word that you can take and begin to work on and master this year. I haven't mastered it yet, but my word has been patience. I don't know. It may take your whole life to learn patience. But God is faithful. And so we get a word from God. There's something about going after that, hearing from the Lord, and then moving ahead. We heard about this next week was on reorienting your vision. When we look, our obedience to God today affects the people behind us and the people in front of us. I mean, we're this link, and people's lives are at stake. And we reorient our vision. Hold on. God's been faithful in the past. God will be faithful in the future, and I'm going to be faithful today. Then we looked at regaining our passion. Man, we need a passion to stand in the gap for marriage and our children. David and his men, their children, their wives were gone, but a passion rose up in them that they were willing to go after, even in the midst of tiredness, of fatigue, and go after the enemy, right? So we need a passion. The enemy will try to steal our passion so that we're not functioning in the gifts that God has given us. Then we talked about attacking. Man, David was a fighter. I'm glad that his family knew that he was a fighter. I don't think they were as worried as we think they would have been. They were probably talking among themselves, just wait till Dad catches up with these guys, with these bunch of rascals, right? I want to be known as a fighter, that my kids and my wife will say, excuse the French, but you know the saying, come hell or high water, I know my dad is going to be there. I know my husband is going to be there. I know that these men at Generational Hope Christian Center, whether married or not, are going to stand in the gap and be protectors and be fighters. Amen? Isn't that right? Corey, Jordan, Andrew, Caleb, Adam, right? Let's try that again. Kyle, would you help him? And Ted? Yes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, all you men. And deepen your voice just a little bit too. Is that right, men?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Come on. Attack. And then Pastor Ryan brought the word on recovering all. Powerful. Just We don't want just part of it. We want all of it. Amen? We want to fight the good fight of faith, and we want to apprehend everything that God has for us. Don't listen to the noise of the world, but listen to the sound of heaven, the sound from the word of the Lord. Amen? And if you remember, we learned how to jack slap and get our Narnia on that week. And then last week, celebrate recovery. Man, Pastor Keturah, if you weren't here, I encourage you to get the download it off the internet. Pastor Keturah in a wheelchair, born in Uganda, really, literally left for dead. Bit by a puff adder snake, almost died, then got, what was it, measles, and then got polio. His legs dried up. I mean, one night he gets sick at 5. By 8 o'clock, he can't walk. He flops to the ground in a wheelchair the rest of his life. But what God has done, what God has done. Now pastoring today, married, 4 children, visiting us in the United States, and he brought the house down preaching the word as he celebrated what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around and used it for good. And you don't know, but in cultures, a lot of times crippled people, they're just throwaways. I mean, their dad thought, well, the only thing you could do is maybe fix shoes or shine shoes. Here he's preaching the word today, leading a whole ministry in the nation of Rwanda. To God be the glory. What's that say to everyone that's crippled? And he will say, I would rather be handicapped physically than handicapped spiritually. So today we're going to talk about giving to others. The final step to full recovery isn't just to feel better, but to give back to others. God blessed David with more than he had begun with. But what impresses me about David is that he was not merely interested in getting rich. David had a giving spirit, and he wanted to bless others. 1 Samuel chapter 30, our text for the last 10 weeks, verse 26 says, when David reached Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends, saying, here is a gift for you from the plunder of the Lord's enemies. I mean, that's pretty awesome. He gets back after fighting. They were tired and yet still fought for a whole day, got everything back and then some, gets back to Ziklag, and what's he thinking? Immediately, I'm going to send gifts out to everyone, my friends. For 500 years, the Amalekites had harassed the Israelites, but now David had taken the wealth of the Amalekites and used it to bless and strengthen the people of God. Then 3 days after David sent these offerings, King Saul was killed, and David was installed as king. I mean, pretty amazing to think about. He goes through this terrible disaster, recovers all, could have quit. If anyone had a reason to quit, he probably did at that time. 3 days later, Saul is killed, and he's installed, and he begins to see the reality of his destiny, of his dreams. And I just want to say this this morning. I'm amazed at God can quickly turn things around. And that's the hope we can know in Christ. I remember being called. There are a lot of words. I'll come back to this story, but there are a lot of times in Scripture we hear the word suddenly. I mean, it was suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And you know what historians, I've heard them say, unsaved historians say, the most significant happening in all of history is the day of Pentecost. Now, it's only possible because of what happened at the cross, right? But when you look at how the world's been changed, they say something happened there that's affected the thinking all around the world, whether you're born again or not. That's what historians would say. There are suddenlies. And I believe God wants to perform some suddenlies in some of your lives. I remember going to Uganda. We had come back here. We were going to start moving towards being the pastor, the senior leader here at the church, when we got a phone call from a Bill and Julie camp serving in South Sudan. And there was a man from Sudan who had been a refugee in Uganda, and he'd gone back into Sudan. Elijah Brown was his name, and he basically had concocted a scheme, a plan to steal everything that we had begun and built in Sudan. And I remember Ron couldn't make it, so literally I jumped on the plane the next day, went to Uganda. Lord spoke to me, Alex Kiemba, some of you know, a Ugandan pastor. Anyways, we went up to Sudan together. And what's amazing is that God literally, suddenly shifted and turned everything. I don't have time to go into the details today, but when we were crossing the border from Uganda into Sudan, I just happened to, but it was God, meet a military captain in the SPL, the Sudanese People's Liberation Army. And he actually, the favor of the Lord was on us, on him, and this whole situation, and there was a lot of witchcraft involved. I mean, there were schemes to actually kill any Americans there and take everything. And God suddenly performed a miracle and turned, reversed everything. And in the matter of just a couple days, Elijah Brown was told, you better get out of here. And the mission was saved. And today we have a school, a primary school of 375 students, and we have churches there, and a medical clinic, and a maize mill, and God's doing amazing things. And we moved into other areas. So I believe that there are some suddenlies for some of you today. I don't know. I know that's a cliche-ish word, but I really felt like that. That even some of you, you've lost a job, and God is going to open the door. Lord, I just pray that you perform a miracle right now. We claim it. We apprehend it in the spirit. We take hold of it, and we claim it as ours. Anyone here this morning that has lost their job, that you would supernaturally open the door to a new job in Jesus' name. Not just any job, but the right place where you strategically place them as a missionary to bring the love and life of Jesus there. In your name, amen. You know, it's amazing. I don't know if you've ever heard this story about Sarah Froese, but Sarah Froese had been faithful in serving. She'd gone through generational leadership, helped serve for a year in Malawi. She's working in Target. Oh, I'm so sorry. By the way, congratulations, both of you. Brain freeze. I totally saw Katie in my mind. Thank you. Anyways, help me get through this now, Lord. Katie is working in Target faithfully. And if any of you know Katie, she was born with a smile on her face and giggles and just joyful about everything. And that's, I don't know. I haven't lived at home with her, but I've been around her enough. She seems pretty happy. She's at Target serving there, and a lady comes up to her and says, have you ever considered being a flight attendant? And she kind of chuckles and says, well, when I was 10 years old, I thought about it, but it's too late now. And this lady speaks into her life and says, it's not too late. In fact, there's two positions open at Alaska Airlines, and I think you would. And she said, I don't normally do this. I've only done this twice in my life, this lady said, but I believe you'd be a great flight attendant. And the rest is history. God opened the doors. She'd become a flight attendant. I think sometimes that's a suddenly. God can do that. I think sometimes we dismiss things. When people look, I was talking to someone this week, and someone was saying about this person that they just know how to give massages. Some people know how to do it. Some people don't. Some people were born to be a nurse, and others were not. You hear what I'm saying? And sometimes words are confirmed in people, and we just kind of excuse as, oh, I don't know. But you'll find people even in the world that will confirm the gift of God in you. They recognize and see that gift. So don't just reject it and laugh it off, but begin to apprehend that. All right, I received that. I'm going to walk in that. Suddenly, David became king just a few days after he had selflessly given. So the story of Ziklag does not end with David getting back what had been stolen. The story ends with David giving to others and being promoted by God to his prophetic destiny. When we encounter hard times, when we face the worst day of our life, it's very easy to become self-absorbed. Right? Oh, me? I know I'll claim that. Our crisis can easily become our entire universe. What we need to learn is that we are not the center of the universe. Amen? Contrary to popular American mindset, we are not the center of the universe. Yes, we are created by God. We are loved by God. We are known by God. Yes, God Himself shares in our joys and sorrows, but God does not build the universe around us. If we are, if we try to make self the center of our own personal universe, disaster results. Let me say that again so you get it. If we try to make self the center of our own personal universe, disaster results. You see, worship is giving, is an expression to the Lord. Worship is how we rightly relate to God. You can worship other things, but it's not acceptable. It's not right worship. It's wrong worship. But worship is how we rightly relate to God. Justice is how we rightly relate to other people. In fact, Jesus said the whole law can be summed up in these two commands: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, which is right worship. Love God, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is justice, how we rightly relate to people around us. But the two great sins that led to Israel's failure were idolatry, wrong worship, and injustice, and they are interrelated. See, idolatry or wrong worship always leads to injustice. Wrong worship always produces a wrong treatment of others. Likewise, a wrong treatment of others makes it impossible to worship acceptably. I hope you're hearing me on that. So we better watch who or what we're worshiping, right? Because right worship is worshiping Him. If our worship is off, then our justice, our treatment of others will be off. If I were to ask you what you believe the biggest idol in America is, if I were to ask you what the biggest idol in America is today, what would you say? Oh my goodness, come on, you guys are with it. I heard that. Self. I absolutely believe the biggest idol in America today is self. It's amazing to me. I was reading a book with Jessica about the Civil War, an assignment in their English class, and the selflessness and the sacrifice that these men and women gave up, knowing they were fighting for something bigger than themselves and for generations to come. But in our culture today, I would say the number one thing we worship is self. How is it going to affect me, please me? And I probably will step on some toes, but I just want to share something this morning. It may not be you, but I think it's something for us to really look at. There's something that it bothers me, yes, it scares me, and I don't want to just share it with you today. Here's something that scares me that I see happening in the body of Christ. It's praise to ourselves that we call worship to God. And I see it happening. I'll watch people come together in an environment to gather together and love God and meet God, and all of the singing is about me. God loves me. God cares for me, and our hands are lifted, and we're just singing to self. It's okay to claim that God loves us and that He will work all things together for good, amen, and to remember those, but then that expression must turn back to Him, and that we lift up your name. I appreciate Noel in worship today. It's not about us and how good we are in getting water baptized. It's about His saving grace. It's about His mercy. It's about His forgiveness. And Jesus said in Hebrews through Paul, He says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. True worship isn't just singing about all the promises and blessings I get. So I just say, young people, especially today, be careful. Observe. If all you're listening to, and it's all that people are listening to, are songs of praise that have to do with self and how God's going to bless me, beware. I don't want to become self-absorbed. There's something that happens. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I inhabit the praises of my people. When we begin to look to him, everything changes. And it welcomes the atmosphere of the presence of the Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? Good. I wonder about the lasting effect Ziklag had on David. So we've got to really confront an idol, the idol of self in our life, even when we go through hard times. I wonder about the lasting effect Ziklag had on David. Did David emerge from the Ziklag disaster a more compassionate and giving person? If he's worried about self, not going to happen. If he's worshiping the Lord, it is going to happen. I know in my own life that personal pain has made me more compassionate toward others. What a shame if our pain is wasted and we emerge from Ziklag, that time in between, the worst day of your life, fully restored but totally unchanged. Now just, I hope you're hearing me this morning. Let me explain that a little bit further. We can be fully restored but totally unchanged. I believe something significant happened in David's life. You know, Saul was rejected for not being generous and for coveting. David turns around with a completely different spirit, and he was a man after God's heart. There was a generosity there. We must allow the experiences of Ziklag to transform us into greater givers. The only thing greater than recovering all by the grace of God is being an agent of God's grace in the lives of others, helping them recover all. Did you hear that? The only thing greater than recovering all is being used by God to help someone else recover all. That's what's so wonderful. Pastor Keturah was speaking and saying, I want to see everyone recover all. If my story will encourage anyone, let it, Lord. We must move beyond obsession with our own joy and sorrow and acknowledge the significance of others. How encouraging to say to someone, I've been there and you are going to make it through it. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You know, when someone's been through it and you can come alongside, been there, done that, have the badge to prove it, you're going to make it. You know what? Young parents need that once or twice in their life. Teenagers need that. 20-year-olds need that, right? We need that. Been there, you're going to make it through it. God is bringing people into our lives and into this church. We need to be willing to love them, to care for them, to pray with them, to befriend them, to share with them, to encourage them, to give to them. One of our greatest strengths can be one of our greatest weaknesses. We're a people of covenant. We don't cut and run real easy. We're family oriented. But that great strength can be a weakness. We can be so used to the familiar and one another that we fail to have eyes to see outside of our sphere and open it up to others. Thank you for a couple weeks ago, Melanie, saying, but it's a challenge, and I hope we all heard it. That's a challenge to us, what you said a few weeks ago, that the Lord said, this is your family. Amen. And there are men who will love your sons. And there are ladies who will open up their life to you. God forgive us if God brings people into this church and he says, here's your family. Amen. And we're so busy with our own family and our own group that we fail to open up our lives to other people. Amen? We can pray for the whole world. Let's quit praying for the whole world and be faithful with who God puts right in front of us. Amen? There are people that come to this church and connect with people and they'll say, friendliest place. Never been friendlier. But after a few months, boy, friendly but not much friendship. Lord, help us open up and go deeper. Amen? Oh, me. David was generous in forgiveness. You know what? David could have held on to the fact that these men wanted to kill him. In the worst day of their life, remember that? They contemplated murdering their leader, David. They go and get everything back, come back. David could have kept that in the back of his mind, and when he became king, they could have paid dearly for it. He could have remembered and said, every one of you, off with your heads. You hear what I'm saying? But David was generous in forgiveness. Here's what I've learned over the years in my short life. After the battle where you get back everything comes the real battle, a battle to forgive and not become bitter over the actions of another person during the battle. Did you hear that? After the battle where you get everything back comes the real battle, a battle to forgive and not become bitter over the actions of another person during the battle. David didn't get bitter. He forgave these men. And Lord, help us. How many Christians have had an encounter with God, a great victory, only to allow anger, unforgiveness, bitterness to take them out? David must have been thinking, because he was well aware of the story of Joseph. You want to talk about the worst day of your life? Joseph had a worst day of his life. I think he's going to be killed, left there for dead, put into a pit, only to, really, it was merciful. I mean, it was going to be death, but they had a little mercy on him, and he's sold into slavery, and he's drug off to Egypt. That's a pretty bad day. How many of you would agree? Caleb, you go home for Christmas, and your family's there with handcuffs, and you're on a flight to Malawi, Africa, where you've been sold to a family to be a slave. Wow. That's a bad day, but David looked at Joseph's life, and I'm amazed at how Joseph responded. Look at Genesis chapter 45. I want to read a few verses. It says, so there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. There was a famine in Israel, and so Joseph's brothers came to Egypt looking for food. They find Joseph, who by then he had moved out of the pit, moved out of Potiphar's house, moved out of the prison, and was now elevated into the Pharaoh's house, second in command only to the Pharaoh in all of Egypt. And he says, so there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into slavery. You know what I appreciated about that? There must have been a pink elephant in the room. There had to have been. The brothers knew. He knew the minute I'm Joseph. And he goes right after the pink elephant, doesn't try to cover it up. He knows they must be worried. He has the power to take their lives right now. And he speaks right to the pink elephant in the room. I am Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. But I love his response and his perspective. Obviously, he knew how to worship God and get his perspective. He said, and now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because I was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Wow. What a response. When you're in Malawi and your family shows up and you say, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm now the prime minister of Malawi. Yeah, thank you. The Lord just used you to get me here a little earlier to save all of America. Huh? Well, I mean, that's pretty amazing to just think about it. He could have been so angry, but he didn't. In verse 14, I love this. It says, then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. What must have happened? Hey, the pink elephant, we're going to deal with it. And he allowed not only physical and emotional healing or forgiveness, but relational forgiveness. You know, I'm just challenged in my heart. We can forgive, but it's only a degree of forgiveness. If I forgive, but if you don't open the door back to relationship, there's an element missing in the area of forgiveness. And I would challenge any of you that would say, yeah, you don't know what I've been through. Well, I think Joseph's story could get right up there with anything anyone's been through. But the power of God to transform and to change us. Amen? Do you know from experience the pain of poverty, the agony of addiction, the devastation of divorce, the knife wound of betrayal, the embarrassment of bankruptcy? Do you know the despair of failure, the soul-crushing ache or real loss, of real loss or tragedy? Has God by His grace brought you beyond that painful past? He did not do it for your sake alone. Hear me. It's not about self-worship this morning. It's about Him worship. But that you might be an agent of redeeming grace in the lives of others. I love this story from Judges chapter 14 about Samson, who one day he's walking along by these vineyards. A young lion comes out to attack him, to kill him, to take his life. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he took that young lion and literally ripped that lion to into pieces like it was a goat, the Bible says. That's pretty impressive. And then, sometime later, Samson goes back, and he remembers where the lion was left, and by then, the flesh had rotted off. It's now a carcass, and he looks in the carcass, and inside the carcass was a beehive, and it was full of honey. And so he reaches in, pretty brave. I don't know how he got the bees out, but he reaches in, and his hands are full of honey. And he goes, he eats honey himself, and then he goes and he brings honey to his parents. It's amazing to me. When the lion attacked, Samson was empty-handed, but now he has his hands full of honey. And notice that Samson did not keep all of the honey for himself, but he gave it back to others. When the lion attacked, Samson's life should have come to a swift and bitter end, but it turned out to bring sweetness into Samson's life, a sweetness he was quick to share with others. Isn't that awesome? And that's what God wants to do in us. It is the value of giving to others that is the final lesson to learn from what David did on the worst day of his life. The grace to recover all is to flow through your life, bringing help, hope, and healing to other people. God wants to get to you what He can get through you. And Bill's the one that's told me that years ago, and it's always stuck with me. God wants to get to you what He can get through you. Amen? And so it may be a season of hard time, the worst day of your life, but God brings you into recovering all, only to then turn around and give it back to others that they might walk in healing as well. Amen? Giving was always part of the equation when Jesus was training the disciples. He would teach and then say, go give. Teach and go give. The tragedy in our way of teaching today in America, in our Bible schools, even in our churches, is teach, 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 get fatter, fatter, fatter. Gorge yourself, gorge yourself. Come on, keep eating, keep eating. Oh, I can't hardly make it through the week. I got to get to church to get fed again. And we eat, 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 rather than turn around and give. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and gave me this statement. I don't know if it's on PowerPoint. I wish it was. Maybe it's not. But healing must be released or it will dry up. Healing must be released or it will dry up. I watch people and their lives be transformed by the power of God. But if it goes, and listen to me, young people, and everyone in this place, if this year is just about you getting healed and restored, it's going to dry up. If it doesn't turn around to become an expression where you are a river of God and it flowing to you to get through you, amen? And I watch people get touched and changed by the power of God, and then they hoard everything to themselves and it becomes a swamp and it dries up. And I watch other people, and they're immature and they're young and they don't know a whole lot, but they say, God, I want to be a conduit. I want to be used by you. I haven't arrived. I haven't perfected everything. God never said to be perfect before you do something. Be used in your weakness. And they're a conduit, and then they grow as they and they learn as they give away. Amen? It's missing in our teaching, but we need it today. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. The sooner we can learn to look beyond our own sorrows and joys and find ways to connect with others by giving to them from what we have, the sooner we will fulfill the purposes appointed by God for our lives. Amen. I want to close with a story, and then I'm going to ask you guys to pray for me, and I'll share why in a minute. But I heard this story a few days ago, and man alive, it touched me and shook me up. It's a true story about a man. A number of years ago, a man was standing in line at a convenience store, and there was a family, a husband, a wife, and a child in line in front of them. And they were purchasing just a few items at the convenience store when the man behind them realized they didn't have the money to pay for the few things of food that they were getting. And so he touched him on the shoulder and spoke into his ear and he said, don't turn around, but here's the money to pay for your groceries. And then before he stepped back, he said, and I want you to know Jesus loves you. So that man didn't turn around. And look, they paid for the groceries. They left. And 9 years later, this man that had given the money in the grocery store was speaking in a church in New Orleans. And this was in New Orleans, actually, at the time that this happened, the place, the store. He was speaking at a church. And after speaking at a church, he was in the back of the church greeting people as they left. And a man came up to him and said, you know, I want to tell you a story about how myself and my wife and our child got saved. And he starts to tell this story. He said, there was a time when I had lost my job. My wife had lost her job. We had no home. We were living in our car. And we had parked on the edge of a cliff, and we had made a pact to commit suicide. And we were going to take our child's life with us. But we thought, well, and I don't know what made him, it must have been the Holy Spirit, we need to feed our child first. He said, so they went to a convenience store, and he said, we were just going to buy a few things for our child before going back to the cliff. And we realized we didn't have the money to pay for these groceries. And so as we were in line, someone whispered in our ear and said, here's the money for the groceries, and then said, Jesus loves you. And so we paid for the groceries, we got in our car, and we drove back to the cliff, and he said, we sat there for 4 hours and wept the whole time and decided, what are we doing? We can't take our lives and the life of our child. On their way driving back to the city or wherever they had been sleeping, they were in their car, but wherever they had been staying, they passed a church. And on the church sign said, Jesus loves you. So that Sunday, they went to church, and they gave their hearts to the Lord. Then this man was speaking, and he said, and that's how we got saved. And he said, and I will always remember the man. I never saw his face, but I know his accent. And the man was from South Africa. He had a distinct accent. And the man looked at him and said, and you're the man, aren't you? And the man said, yes, I'm the guy. Gave his heart to the Lord, and their lives were spared. One random kind act saved three lives that day. And because he told them that Jesus loved them, they ended up accepting Christ. I mean, what an awesome story. Amen? Giving can be life-altering, not just for the receiver, but for the giver also. In fact, I was looking in Isaiah 58, 6 and 7, and God's speaking to us, and he says, I don't want a fast where you just humble yourself and lay on ashes and a heap and just cry out. You know what I want? The kind of fast I want is to heal the brokenhearted.
That's right.
And to care for people that are in need and to feed those that are hungry. That's the fast that I honor. Amen. Let this Christmas season be a time for what it's really about, giving, not just receiving. Find someone that you, as a person or as a family, can bless. Man, it's rewarding.